Chapter 34. I looked at the cavernous barrel and thought to myself that a 44 really was a ridiculously big gun. Then I looked past it to Cowell and said, "But you aren't planning on doing it yourself, are you? Otherwise, you'd have just shot me in the back of the head and had done with it. With me groggy like that, you might not even have had a death curse to worry about."
"Very good," Cowell said approvingly. "Your reason, at least, seems sound. Provided you remain very still and give me no reason to think you a threat, I'll be glad to let you live until the Earl King returns for you."
I held still, partly because I didn't want to get shot, and partly because I thought I might throw up if I moved my head too much. "How'd you find me?" I asked.
"Kumori and I have been taking turns tailing you most of the day," he said.
"When do you people sleep?" I asked.
"No rest for the wicked," Cowell said.
His tone was amused from within his heavy hood, but the gun never wavered. "Someone had to keep an eye on me," I said. "You and Gravain and Corpse Taker all wanted the Earl King to be in town. It didn't matter to you who called him as long as someone did."
"And you were the only one with an interest in keeping him away," Cowell said. "All I needed to do was watch you and ensure that you did not actually trap the Earl King."
"And that's why you followed me," I said.
"It's one reason," he replied. "I think you might actually have done it, you know, had I not interrupted you. I was the only one of the three of us who thought you might succeed."
"I don't get it," I said. "I thought that you guys hated one another's guts."
"Oh, yes."
"Then are you working together or trying to kill each other?" I asked.
"Why, yes," Cowell said,
and what sounded like a genuine laugh bubbled in his voice.
"We smile at one another and play nicely all in the name of Kemmler's greater glory, of course. But we are all planning on killing one another as soon as it's convenient. I take it that Corpse Taker tried to remove Gravain last night."
"Yeah, it was a real party."
"Pity. I would have enjoyed watching them in action again. But I was busy with the actual work. That's how it usually works out."
"Taking out the city's power grid."
"And phone lines, radio communications, and quite a few other subtler things," Cowell said. "It was difficult, but someone had to do it. Naturally, it fell to me. But we'll see how things settle out before morning."
"Huh," I said. "They think they're using you to get the serious technical magic done while they save up their juice for the fight. And you think you're lulling them off guard so that when the Dark Hallow goes down, you get the power."
"There's no real reason to practice my sword play and summoning of the dead when I have no intention of entering a tactical contest with them."
"You really intend to make yourself into a god?" I asked.
"I intend to take power," Cowell said. "I regard myself as the least of the possible evils."
"Uh-huh," I said. "Someone is going to get the power. Might as well be you. Something like that?"
"Something like that," Cowell said.
"What if no one got it?" I said.
"I don't really see that happening," he said. "Gravain and the Corpse Taker are determined. I intend to beat them to the prize and use it to destroy them. It's the only way to be sure one of those madmen does not become something more terrible than the Earth has ever seen."
"Right," I said. "You're the correct madman for the job." Cowell was silent for a long moment in the rain. Drops fell off the end of my pistol in his gloved hand. Then he said, his voice pensive,
"I do not perceive myself to be mad, but if I were truly mad, would I be able to tell?"
I shivered, probably from the rain and the cold. Cowell took a step back from me and said, voice firm and confident again,
"Did you find him?"
I looked behind me and saw Kumori glide out the back door of Murphy's house.
"Yes."
I stared hard at Kumori, and my heart lurched in my chest. She left the door open behind her. There was no candlelight in the kitchen. There was no movement inside the house.
"Excellent," Cowell said.
He took a step back from me.
"I have already warned you to stay clear of my path, Dresden." I now suspect that you are too proud to back down. I know of the wardens now in the city. They pose no serious obstacle to my plans.
You think you can take them in a fight? I said.
I have no intention of fighting them, Dresden, Cowell replied. I'm simply going to kill them. Join them, if it suits you to do so, instead of waiting for the Earl King. It makes no difference to me how you die.
His voice was steady and absolutely confident. It scared me. My heart lurched in my chest. Fear for Butters and a dawning understanding of Cowell's quiet madness competing to see which could make it race faster. There's one problem, Cowell, I said. Cowell began to turn away, but then paused.
Oh?
You still don't have the word. How are you going to manage the Dark Hollow without it? For an answer, Cowell carefully lowered the hammer on my revolver and turned away. And he laughed, quietly, under his breath. He started walking, and Kumori hurried to his side. Then Cowell tossed my gun into the grass, raised his hand, and flicked it at the air before him. I felt a surge of power as he parted the veil between the material world and the Never Never, and they both stepped through it, vanishing from Murphy's backyard.